is Mercury Control. The MA-6 launch countdown stands at T-minus 22 minutes and holding. We have encountered difficulty with the liquid oxygen loading valve out in the launch pad area. We're at T-minus 22 minutes and holding. We estimate at this time an additional 10 to 15 minutes in the hold. This is Mercury Control.
About 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on February 20th, 1962, I and thousands of other people all over the United States heard Lieutenant Colonel John Powers of NASA, or the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, say there'd be a delay before the countdown which would send astronaut Colonel John Glenn streaking upward from the launching pad at Cape Canaveral, Florida, and hopefully into orbit. Colonel Powers was the voice of Mercury Control for this flight, the first attempted orbital flight by an American astronaut. How I wish that I'd been selected to guide the Friendship 7 capsule on that flight. And in spirit, if not in the flesh, I was the one who was strapped in that contour chair, waiting for the countdown.
This is Mercury Control. The MA-6 launch countdown is at 2 minutes and 30 seconds and counting. 2 minutes and 30 seconds and counting. This is Mercury Control.
2.5 minutes to go. I could picture Colonel Glenn making a final check of his suit, his helmet, his contour chair. At Mercury Control, people responsible for the different systems which would be a part of the flight would be reporting. Communications, go. Aeromed, go. Range, go. I could almost hear my heart pounding with excitement.
This is Mercury Control. The MA-6 launch countdown is T-minus 30 and counting. T-minus 30 seconds and counting.
30 seconds. Now I could hear the excited babble of voices at Mercury Control. As I listened, I was reminded of all the science fiction movies I'd seen. But I knew this wasn't fiction. This was the real thing.
This is Mercury Control. We're at T-minus 19 seconds.
I pulled my chair closer to the radio. And I said a little prayer that everything would go right.
We're at T-minus 10 seconds and counting.
As the final countdown began, they switched controls to the inside of the Friendship 7 for the takeoff.
3, 2, 1, 0.
Liftoff! The clock is operating. We're underway.
The MA-6 vehicle has lifted off. Trajectory looks good.
Powerful thrust, the capsule headed straight up, like a rocket on the 4th of July. Up and up it went, building up speed as the pressure increased, right up to 6 G's, 6 times the pull of gravity. When the capsule was out of the atmosphere, the 2 outboard engines shut down, leaving 1 engine to move the capsule into orbit. The Friendship 7 was rapidly coming to that moment when Colonel Glenn would reach the area of weightlessness. I could hear his conversation with Colonel Powers coming from inside the capsule.
Tape is go. We're standing by for you. Roger. Tape is go, and I am go.
The capsule rose still higher. The escape tower jettisoned itself. Bolts exploded between the capsule and the booster, and the capsule turned blunt end forward.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous. I could see the booster during turnaround just a couple of hundred yards behind me. It was beautiful.
Then we heard the words we were waiting for as Lieutenant Commander Alan Shepard, who was acting as technical advisor, told Colonel Glenn, "You are go for at least 7 orbits." Colonel John Glenn and the Friendship 7 were on their way. He was over the Atlantic Ocean. I wondered how fast he was traveling. And Colonel Powers must have read my mind.
"Under current conditions, John Glenn in the Friendship 7 spacecraft is traveling at a velocity of 17,545 miles an hour and is in an orbit ranging from 100 miles at the perigee or low point to an altitude of 160 miles at its apogee or high point."
Soon as he soared over the Indian Ocean, Colonel Glenn experienced his first nightfall in space. Later in an interview, he'd explain that when the sun went down, it was a very white light and brilliant. When it sank below the horizon, there was a bright orange color. But close to the surface, it was a dark blue, which faded into black. But now, as the Friendship 7 sped toward Australia, Colonel Glenn had only one short comment to make.
"Yeah,
I guess that was a pretty short day for him at that, even though the rest of us on Earth hadn't even started to think about lunch yet. Now, as Colonel Glenn approached Australia, he was puzzled to see a large pattern of light below him. Unknown to him and in his honor, the citizens of Perth, Australia, had turned on just about every light in the city. Not only the lights in the houses, but street lights, automobile lights, and taxi drivers blinked their lights on and off as a salute to the American astronaut. To Colonel Glenn, over 162 miles above the Earth, must have been quite a sight. As he reported to Mercury Control,
"Roger, the lights go up very well. Thank you, everybody, for turning them on, will you?"
Then, as he started across the Pacific, he had his first and only meal of the flight. Since he was flying at 0G, which meant there was no force of gravity, remember, he didn't have to worry about tables or dishes. All he did was park a squeeze tube of applesauce in the air in front of his face while he opened the face piece of his helmet. Then he squeezed the applesauce into his mouth without spilling a drop. While he was still over the Pacific, going from night to day again, he reported a strange sight to Mercury Control.
Only really unusual thing so far beside ASCS trouble were the little particles, luminous particles around the capsule, just thousands of them, right at sunrise over the Pacific. Over.
Later, Colonel Glenn said the strange particles were greenish yellow and were about 6 to 10 feet apart, and they seemed to flow around the capsule. Now he was flying in daylight again. And as he passed over California, he picked out part of the Imperial Valley, the Salton Sea, and the irrigated land around El Centro, where he'd once lived. A short time later, he neared the east coast of the United States and the end of his first orbit. As he headed out over the Atlantic again toward Africa, he reported,
"Roger, this Friendship 7 has the Cape in sight down there. It looks real fine from up here. Looks like we'll have no problems on recovery."
In the 93 minutes since his liftoff, Colonel Glenn had flown 26,416 miles. And now he was starting the trip all over again. For a while, everything went smoothly. Then Colonel Glenn had a little trouble operating the capsule by hand. It wasn't working as smoothly as he thought it should. So he combined hand control with the automatic control. This kept him busy for the best part of the next 3 hours. By then, he had to make the big decision. was the capsule in condition to go into a third orbit. By now, the Friendship 7 was over Hawaii again and heading for California. Like thousands of others who were listening to the flight, I wondered what Colonel Glenn's decision would be.
This is Mercury Control in a voice contact broadcast and relayed remotely to the control center. We heard astronaut John Glenn report that he is go for another orbit.
There it was. Colonel Glenn was going into his third orbit of the Earth as he came around and headed toward Hawaii, now for the third time. He began thinking about re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere. And as he started to get ready, Colonel Powers explained what else he was doing.
He is also completing now his retrofiring checklist. And this is a process by which he makes sure that all of his onboard equipment is secured, that he has checked out his attitude control system, that he is in good condition and preparing to fire those retro rockets to begin that long landing flight toward the Atlantic. This is Mercury Control.
Firing the retro rockets. Now that was something that had to be figured out exactly. Since Colonel Glenn was flying 5 miles a second, if he made a mistake of just 1 second in the timing of his retro rockets, the capsule would land 5 miles away from where it should. Then, Colonel Glenn realized something was wrong. The heat shield on the base of the capsule was loose. This meant trouble. Because when the Friendship 7 started its re-entry, it would heat up to 3,000 degrees from atmospheric friction. And without the shield, both the capsule and Colonel Glenn would be burned to a cinder. There were only seconds remaining until time to fire. They fired. A bright orange glow built up around the capsule. One of the loose straps burnt off and floated away. Colonel Glenn realized that if anything was going to happen, it was going to happen. And there was nothing he could do about it. As the Friendship 7 neared the west coast of the United States, the tracking stations followed the capsule closely.
This is Mercury Control. Our California station has made contact with the Friendship 7 spacecraft at 2:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. At 2:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the retro rocket firing sequence was initiated in the spacecraft. John Glenn's comment was it felt like he was going to send him clear back to Hawaii.
Now, Colonel Glenn was beginning his re-entry. The remainder of the retro rocket package in flames broke loose and dropped away. The danger was over. I can imagine how relieved Colonel Glenn was. His only comment was,
"That was a real fireball, boy."
And I'll bet it was. From then on, everything went according to schedule. Once Colonel Glenn started his re-entry, all communication with the ground was cut off. All the world waited for the words that would tell us the flight had been a complete success. And finally, there they were.
This is Mercury Control. U.S. astronaut John Glenn is on the deck of the USS NOAA, is reported to be a hale and hearty astronaut after having successfully flown the United States' first manned orbital flight.
Colonel Glenn had done it. In 5 hours and 34 minutes, he'd flown over 75,000 miles, and he'd seen 3 sunsets. But the flight of the Friendship 7 wasn't quite the end of Project Mercury. After that first successful flight, 3 more spectacular orbital flights were made. 3 months later, on May 24th, 1962, Lieutenant Malcolm Scott Carpenter in the Aurora 7 flew 3 orbits. On October 3rd, Lieutenant Commander Wally Schirra flew six orbits. And on May 15th and 16th, 1963, Captain Leroy Gordon Cooper, in Faith 7, ended Project Mercury in a blaze of glory when he orbited the Earth 22 times. Now the Gemini Project is underway, with the two-man teams who will continue America's exploration of outer space. As for me, well, I haven't given up yet. Now that we've taken pictures of the moon, there'll be a need for more astronauts to volunteer to take a first-hand look. And who knows? Maybe I'll be lucky enough to be the first man to reach the moon.